Welcome to Oncology Today, Colorectal Cancer Edition, a special program focused on recently published and emerging research in the management of colorectal cancer. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. For this program, I met jointly with Dr. Axel Grothy from West Cancer Center in Germantown, Tennessee, and Dr. Michael Overman from the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. To begin, I asked Dr. Grothy to comment on biomarker analysis for patients with colorectal cancer.
In the last years, we have really started to molecularly profile patients with metastatic colorectal cancer, and with the idea that we identify patients with targetable mutations or alterations that can really guide our therapy approaches in first line and later line of therapy. So the molecular profile that we, for instance, do at MD West Cancer Center and probably also at MD Anderson is comprehensive next-generation sequencing profile that identifies mutations, but also potential fusions, and of course immunohistochemistry for mismatch repair deficiency to identify candidates for immunotherapy. HER2-targeted agents, you know, potentially for the HER2 overexpressors. So I think at about 21-22% of patients, we identify alteration that at least in theory can be targetable. The most common ones, BRAF V600E, where we do have treatment options available, HER2, MSI-high, mismatch repair deficient tumors. Those are the ones that we definitely use for positive treatment decisions. Then on the other hand, we also profile patients and tumors to identify patients who are not candidates for EGF receptor antibody therapies, the RAS mutant tumors, NRAS and KRAS mutant tumors. So that's really led into the comprehensive molecular profiling history of metastatic colorectal cancer.
Mike, any comments on this, particularly as it relates to immunotherapy? Can you comment again on genomic markers in colorectal cancer?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen this increasing number of clinically relevant kind of genomic markers that has really come to the fore. We've known a lot of different alterations, but now we really have ones that are clinically engageable that really predict us to do something different. And that number is just increasing. You've heard about it, Axel, talking about RAS, BRAF, HER2. MSI, mismatch repair, you know, TMB, we can even talk about. And so I really think that as we accumulate these numbers, it really leads to the fundamental kind of change in which really we need to start moving towards a large next generation sequencing panel that's capturing all these various kind of required alterations that are actually engageable, even fusions, right? Very rare, but still something that we have therapies for. And so as I think these increase in regards to the clinical engagement range, it really means that we really have to start looking at a broad next generation sequencing panel that really covers all these aspects. And a lot of different companies and availability have that. But I think we're going to see that more and more as the critical kind of testing going forward.
Mike, any comment about liquid biopsies?
You know, in colorectal cancer in general, a lot of times we have tissue, right? Often it's accessible, the primary metastatic site. And so often I think, you know, tumor is available. I think clearly liquid biopsy makes a lot of sense. You have an adequate tumor sample. And so that's an obvious kind of space to be using it as your molecular profiling. I think in the colorectal space where we see it more providing a unique aspect to care is really in the case where you're actually looking for that ctDNA in regards to a potential change. So there's some interesting data in regards to EGFR and acquired resistance and that evolving over time and the ability to assess for that using ctDNA. So do you have acquired RAS mutations that then decline and you can potentially consider engaging again with EGFR therapy as one option? So this acquired resistance kind of question that potentially has a role even in clinical practice. And then I think the minimal residual disease setting. So you're looking after a surgical intervention and you're looking to see, is there kind of a minimal residual disease as detected by circulating tumor DNA? And I think those are the two kind of real kind of unique spaces that I think we'll see a lot more interest and engagement with circulating tumor DNA in the colorectal space.